Case for argument, Delgado Ramos v. Holder. Mr. Solis.
Good morning, Your Honors. Your Honor, as a preliminary matter, if it pleases the court, I'd like to take my 5 minutes straight, no rebuttal. It's okay with the court. My name is Juan Solis. I am honored to come before the court this morning on behalf of the appellant, Alberto Delgado Ramos, who is present in court with his lovely wife. Alberto is seeking review of the immigration judge's decision, which was affirmed by the Board of Immigration Appeals, wherein he was denied his application for cancellation of removal, asserting that due process constitutional rights were violated, inasmuch as his lawyer filed a motion to withdraw and a motion for continuance, which were denied, which we are claiming are procedural due process violations and substantive as well. Indeed, there is no question that when Alberto approached removal hearing on January 21st of 2011, he had a heavy burden. He had to establish, among other things, he successfully established that he was a person of good moral character. He established that he was in excess of 10 years in the United States. But he had the heavy burden, which has been a part of the case law in this court and many other jurisdictions, and a part of the law, that he had to establish exceptional and extremely unusual hardship to his United States citizen children and wife. That's not an easy task. Generally, this court has yielded a high standard and acute scrutiny in making such a determination. Indeed, many knock at the door, but most are denied.
Why didn't he talk to his lawyer?
Your Honor, the record indicates that the lawyer stated and admitted that he was unprepared. He also admitted that
the lawyer made repeated efforts to speak to him, and for years he refused to talk to him. So is this a new stall tactic where you just don't talk to your lawyer and then you go to a hearing and you say you're not prepared because you don't have because your lawyer isn't up to date on the case?
Your Honor, unfortunately, if a review of the record only reveals one side of the story, that is the lawyer's side of the story, because these are statements that he rhetorically made to the immigration judge at the time of the hearing. There is nothing in the record to indicate whether Alberto actually received those communications from the lawyer, or in fact whether Alberto tried to communicate to his lawyer, and in fact the lawyer was the one that was absent or rejected his telephone calls or his pleas.
Well, we would have to speculate to get to that, wouldn't we? There's nothing before us about that whatsoever.
Precisely, and that's where the record is basically remiss.
Get an affidavit from the lawyer?
Your Honor, as you note from the record, the record indicated after the motion for a withdrawal was denied, the lawyer asked for a continuance because he had been actually terminated or fired from his job. There was a manifestation that the client indicated that he wanted another lawyer at that time. Nevertheless, the court forced or compelled the lawyer to proceed and the hearing to commence. Unfortunately,
it wasn't like it was on a short track. This had been extended out, I think, 18 months or so from the prior appearance. There was plenty of preparation time.
Precisely, and that is the question is why was the lawyer essentially unprepared after a year and a half of no contact with the lawyer?
Because his client had not stayed in contact with him.
Well, Your Honor, that's one version, and that's the lawyer's version because that's the only version that's in the record. The immigration judge did not inquire either of Alberto or of his wife, who were the two witnesses, or of the lawyer, the nature and the context of those kinds of communications, or in fact if Alberto had actually communicated with him. That's just one version, and obviously the lawyer, and I'm a lawyer as well, all of us are going to come to a hearing, if we haven't had any contact with a lawyer, we're going to have to find some excuse for not being prepared. He admitted he wasn't prepared. Now, if a lawyer is not prepared, then, you know, 6 months before, he should have filed a motion to withdraw and said, I have no cooperation with my client.
At his last removal hearing, he had an opportunity to explain his relationship with a lawyer and why it had failed, right? And he didn't say anything.
Well, the previous removal hearing, he was given the opportunity to file the application. And according to the lawyer, he filed the application. He had communication.
My question, why didn't he speak up at the final removal hearing?
Well, at the final removal hearing, he was only responding to questions that were posed to him by his attorney or by the immigration judge. The question was never posed.
What question was never put?
There were questions that were posed generally about himself, his employment, his relationship to his stepchild, to his U.S. citizen child, to his wife. But there was no inquiry as to why he had no contact with his lawyer for a year and a half.
Nobody asked him why he didn't contact his lawyer?
There's nothing in the record.
Nobody asked him that.
Pardon me?
On the record, there's no question to ask him, why didn't you contact your lawyer?
That's correct.
How about that?
And you have a situation then where the client has a very high standard to establish that he is he has to show exceptional hardship or exceptional and extremely unusual hardship. And how can he do it with an unprepared lawyer? Your Honor, I would suggest that it's just a denial of due process to proceed with the hearing under those circumstances. The best evidence that we have here is that the wife admitted that she had an anxiety disorder and that she had pervasive nerve pain. And these are ailments which have to be predicated or proven with affidavits or with medical records or with expert witnesses. And these take loads of hours of preparation, Your Honor, before coming to a hearing and can't be off the back of his seat. So respectfully, Your Honor, because my client was crippled with and had essentially no defense in preparation in presenting his application for cancellation of removal, we would submit that he has been denied due process, and we would request that this matter be remanded back so that those.
Didn't his wife make an application for? What, an adjustment of status for him?
Yes, there is an application pending for him, but he can't adjust his status, Your Honor, because he did not enter the United States with inspection. So eventually because he's married to a United States citizen wife, eventually he's going to be able to immigrate into the United States, and assuming he gets a host of waivers that he may have to get, namely that he resided in the United States without permission, and presumably now because the voluntary departure time has elapsed, unless it's reinstated by this court, he may have to get a waiver if he's eventually deported from the United States. So he has a number of hurdles he has to overcome before he eventually can get his immigration status, but that is obviously in the works.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Solis.
Thank you.
Ms. Sponzo?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Jen Sponzo on behalf of the respondent. A few observations at the outset.
Why didn't the immigration judge ask him why he hadn't contacted his lawyer, why he hadn't responded to the lawyer's efforts to contact him?
Why was petitioner directly not asked?
Yes.
I don't know, Your Honor. I don't. Unfortunately, but
asked him, shouldn't he?
It would have been helpful, but the timeline in this case, as Your Honors observed, is 26 months start to finish.
I understand why the immigration judge was annoyed and the lawyer was there to testify, but it is curious why Delgado Ramos didn't.
Absolutely, but the amount of evidence presented in support of that timely filed cancellation application is considerable. Petitioner submitted documents and affidavits totaling almost 100 pages of evidence, along with his cancellation application filed in September of 2009, then appeared in immigration court with his wife and testified with the benefit of chosen counsel at great length regarding the consequences of removal, establishing his good moral character. Petitioner had 4 separate hearings, all with chosen counsel, and was granted 2 continuances. One, to attempt to resolve his criminal history, which he did. His possession offense was...
Why did he have 4 hearings?
Two continuances explain some of the number of hearings there. He was granted time to see whether he could...
Find more evidence or...
Absolutely. First, to see whether he could pursue administrative closure of his possession criminal proceedings.
The same immigration judge throughout?
I believe so, Your Honor, yes. Also noteworthy, petitioner had a different attorney during his appeal to the board. He did secure a new counsel. At no point has he pursued an ineffective assistance of counsel claim. That is a remedy available to petitioner. With respect to adjustment of status, I would just note no adjustment of status application has been made at this time. The Form I-130, Petition for Alien Relative, that was filed on petitioner's behalf, we don't have it in the record. He did not submit that petition. He didn't submit the filing receipt. There was testimony to that effect. I have tracked down that that petition was approved March 20th of 2012. No action has been taken. I concede there are obstacles and there will be a process if he does elect to pursue adjustment of status, but that's essentially a year after the board's decision in this case that approval came through. Again, no action has been taken. There's 2 elements to the agency decisions that are before this court. The first is the denial of petitioner's application for cancellation for failure to prove exceptional and extremely unusual hardship. The second are the denials of his requests for his attorney's request to withdraw and his request for a further continuance. Both this court has recognized lacks jurisdiction to review those determinations, and there is simply no evidence that has been identified at any point that would change the results reached by the immigration judge as affirmed by the board. Even in petitioner's brief to this court, the majority of the documents, pieces of evidence he identifies, speak to conditions in Mexico and what might happen to his wife and children if they go to Mexico with him. That was never at issue before the agency. Petitioner and his wife very consistently and strongly testified that if he is removed, his wife and daughters will remain in the United States. He has not offered any evidence to say that that's now different. He's not changed his argument. And evidence concerning what might happen to them, therefore not material to the denial of his application for cancellation. His identification of documentation that could be submitted regarding his church here in the United States. Again, his wife and children can continue to attend that church. And the agency additionally accepted the medical and health challenges petitioner's wife is currently facing. That was not in dispute. It was not at issue. Petitioner has simply failed to identify any error in the event this court found jurisdiction, any abuse of discretion in the denial of his application for cancellation or in the denial of his attorney's motion to withdraw or his request for a further continuance. And it is well settled in this court that the court lacks jurisdiction to review the denial of cancellation based on a failure to show hardship and that a continuance is properly denied where substantial delay will result. I see my time has run.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Fonzo.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Solis, do you have anything further?
Thank you, Your Honor, for your patience this morning.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.